Mike. We are here talking about Danganronpa V3, which of course means I am joined by Kaz himself, new co-host, ditched the old one, got the main guy himself. No, I'm just kidding. It's Sam Sheehan. Sam, welcome back.
I had the Kaz. I'm glad you pivoted, because the Kaz impression I had locked and loaded was not going to go over well. Probably were going to have to cut this one apology episode after this.
We were going to get so canceled.
Yeah, it was.
You had
it
a bunch of Confucius say jokes for some reason.
Yeah, it was not going to go well. I had like a lot. You know what? Let's just move on. I'm glad we moved. Got past that.
I did have the quintessential "this should be happening to Sam" moment happen to me when I was in Baltimore this weekend. Mm-hmm. I was buying.
You were on a bridge.
And I saw a boat coming, and I thought, oh boy, wow. That looks pretty close. So maybe I'll just quick step off this bridge.
Well, but Mayor Pete Buttigieg put me in charge of guiding the boats underneath as our Department of Transportation guy. And I think
it's going pretty well.
Obviously,
I'm the DEI hire of being white.
Yes. Obviously, a horrible tragedy, but very funny that this is happening to Mayor Pete again. That, like, the planes are falling out of the sky, the bridges are collapsing, and he can't do anything about it.
I like that Mayor Pete had the correct opinion on highways being racist, and every GOP person's like, what? This is insane. It's like, man, the one time you get it right.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
You can't win, Mayor. We need more of that. We need more of that. I wonder why he didn't run for election.
I don't know. Maybe I think maybe he was just tired from the last one. He wanted to stay home with Chasen, the husband he definitely loves and does not use as a prop.
Chasen, we're going out again. Yes, sir.
Oh. Is it going to be a place that's public? You know it is.
It's like I think of their relationship kind of being like Adam Scott's and his wife's in Step Brothers. Where he's like making the children like sing a cappella. Catherine Hahn is the Chasen character in this.
Such a great moment.
Yeah.
you're off pitch again.
Again, no. I've got to save it with the solo. Except instead of doing a cappella, they're killing dogs.
Chasen doesn't the hang want of it.
To. Yeah, Chasen's like begging not to and trying to escape because he's a good person with strong moral character. And Mayor Pete's like, you will take this slingshot and you will rocket a ball bearing through this chihuahua's skull before we get out of here.
You'll kill the dog, or Barack will do it again.
Violent Chasen, pilot the dog killing Eva. Barack will do it again.
But I was buying ice cream.
He's doing the ghetto pose. Yeah. Watching him do it.
Just bridged.
Bridged hands.
Like. I could see Mayor Pete doing that.
Part. Yes, yes.
Is Mayor Pete our most Gendo-coded politician?
Oh, definitely.
The only Evangelion controversy that I'm interested in.
I've always said Kamala kind of has the energy of his adult. Why am I blanking on her name? His adult like instructor.
Why am I blanking? Now I'm just thinking Kaoru, which is not what I want to say. Misoto.
Mitsuo, is that right?
Misato.
Misato, yeah. Shit. All right. I'm not a real one.
Although Evangelion fans are
furious.
I famously stopped watching Evangelion with my friend because he started crying in the one episode, and I was like, I'm enlightened, but not this enlightened. I can't do this.
It's good.
I need to be a little more toxic than this guy.
Yeah. It's good, but I would not. It wouldn't make me. I would not cry over it.
As my co-host and friend Andrew has said, Gunbuster's right there. So don't worry too much about it. But no, I was buying ice cream, and it was a nice, lovely woman, maybe around your age, who knows, who could say, who was wearing a 2B shirt. And I said, oh, wow. Oh, that's cool. I was like, I love your shirt. I was just at that. I was at that orchestral performance, the New York orchestral performance. And she goes, oh, in Chicago. And she was like, I was there, too. And then I turned to my wife and said, she was at the same concert we were. But it would have been cooler if you could go, oh, well, you know, maybe we could talk about that over coffee. And I had wished it were you then. I wished it were you.
Could have been me. It could have been me.
It folks. Could have been you. If only things were a little different.
I've often said that the only thing is I just have to go to every orchestral version of every video game that's.
You're eventually gonna find an unassuming shy ice cream salesman who is pretty committed to dating you and talking about the music.
I'm going to the Last of Us Part 2 soundtrack concert. It's just dark, ominous tones over and over again.
Did you buy the two the 4LP or album for it?
Yeah, yes, I did. Well, I got the remaster, which released 7 days after the first one came out, the first edition.
Oh man, that's such a good Last of Us joke. Let's absolutely go.
We've got the Last of Us remaster. You've got Last of Us Part 1.
take that, Randy Pickford. Oh wait, no, yeah. Is that Randy? That's not Randy Pickford. That's someone else. Randy Pickford's a Gearbox, right?
Randy perhaps. Pitchford?
Yeah, he's Gearbox. He's not. Who did Last of Us?
What's his name? The Israeli guy. I forget his name.
Because The Last of Us is about Palestine.
Essentially, yes.
Very, very cool.
I think he's like on
Neil
records.
Druckmann.
Neil Druckmann. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, he's on record saying that like he... It was like, I don't know, it was like somebody executing like IDF soldiers or something. And it made him so mad that he wanted to kill them. And then he was like, but then I got introspective about that feeling. And I thought about what if instead of killing people, you were killing zombies and then no one could be mad at you.
This like, honestly, it's just I've told this story on the podcast before, I'm sure. But like when I was in graduate school, we were at NYU. We read this book. I don't even remember what the book was. It was a good book, a good novel. I just don't recall it. But it was it was about Passing, basically. It wasn't the novel Passing. I do love that novel. But the in it, like this one girl who's a main character has like a white mother and a black father, and she describes her whiteness as something that is infecting her. And so like I was asked to kind of like lead discussion a little bit that week. Like everyone had to at some point. It wasn't because I was really good at it. And I said, you know, is this kind of an interesting metaphor about whiteness? Like, what can we take from this? And like, do we find it useful? Can we build on it? Like, what do we think? And someone just goes, no, it's not useful because it is ableist and wrong to talk about disease that way and make people feel bad for being diseased. And, you know, in my mind, I was like, shut the hell up. I don't be mean to me.
Sure.
And for a long time, I never could understand who that critique was for. And now I understand it's for Neil Druckmann.
It's for Neil Druckmann, yes.
Like at some point, Neil Druckmann had to have someone come up to him and go, you can't talk about disease like this. Like, it doesn't work. You can't do this, especially if you are making a metaphor. It makes it way, way worse.
He's a lot of people love that video game, so I'll be nice. We're talking about a better video
game. Oh, a much better video game. It's Danganronpa V3.
And we're at the start of the impeccable back half to Danganronpa 3. We are in chapter 4.
Yeah, we are on chapter 4. The chapter where Kokichi goes from being sort of a funny little Nagito riff to his own little slice of hell.
he has a new way to be out here, new boot goofing. it's like a very funny. He's doing a quick risk. By the way, there will be heavy spoilers pretty much from here on out.
Those first 10 minutes of riffing brought to you by, if you don't want spoilers, turn off the podcast now.
Yeah. You should turn off the podcast now. So you have 3, 2, 1. So this one is what I like about this one, just in terms of Because I think by this point we've kind of gotten a lot of the truth versus a lie, like as the new theme of V3. You know what I'm saying? Because there's, you know, there's hope, despair in the first one. There's future and self are kind of the themes in the second one. This one is very much about truth, and it is all through the lens of Shuichi, wrestling with bad things happen when people find out the truth.
Right.
And essentially all of chapter 4 is a giant booby trap by Kokichi to make Shuichi do that again. Basically to hurt, give himself psychic damage by finding out the truth, which is something that he has to do.
Right. And it's what I liked about this chapter a lot was, and I'll let you keep talking because you describe it better than me. But I liked the fact that basically you end up with this moment that I feel like you kind of want in the other games. For the British mystery sickos out there, it's the why do they keep doubting Father Brown moment, where you're just Father Brown keeps solving all these mysteries and the cops are still stay out of it, Father Brown. And in this case, it's Shuichi keeps solving everything, and yet everyone keeps saying we can't rely on Shuichi, we need to all pitch in. And it's I, Shuichi, am the ultimate detective. I should be able to do this. And at a certain point, Kokichi plays into this a lot, where he's Shuichi, you're the only one who can help us. And everyone's Shuichi, you're the only one who can help us. And it's really off-putting and weird, but it's also kind of gratifying until the other shoe drops.
Yes. Well, and I think that's the we've talked about this in previous episodes and previous games before. I think that Kaz is a closet communist or socialist. I don't think he's ever thought about that stuff that much. My impression of him is he's just a guy who likes little games, but he's
just having a great time.
Yeah. But his ideology is one of community and of, loneliness being the enemy.
Right.
Of, humanity and your psyche. And this is, this is the idea of the truth as being caustic, you know what I'm saying, to
right.
that, you know, and that's kind of the tension of this game is is the lie worth it? Is it really always better to get the truth? You know what I'm saying?
And you get two versions of it in this, because Kaito also sort of has a turn in this one that I found really interesting, where his whole thing of I choose to believe in these people because I choose to believe in them has always been really sort of reassuring for Shuichi's character. And sort of you understand it as playing the game. You're oh, yeah, OK. The whole point of this is he's just basically serving as a person who can keep these units together. He's basically, standing in the way of everything falling apart. In this one, he keeps saying why choose to trust even when things start going wrong. He's what are you doing? Why are you siding with Kokichi? I want to trust people instead. Don't you agree with me? I thought we were friends. And it's really interesting because, Kokichi basically has the, lies are better than the truth because lies have so much more potential and are so much more interesting and can make things better for people and worse. And Kaito's is trust is better than the truth, because with trust, we never have to ever doubt our friends at any point. Yes. And it, like, you can't really, as much as the game asks you to question the trust and question like what people are saying, like you actually can't ever not get the truth. Like the mechanics of the game mean you are always going to get the truth.
Yeah. And this is, and well, yes. And that's the thing, you know, because I think that this is kind of part of the beats where, you know, I think what makes Danganronpa really great, like the trials themselves are like kind of fun, but I think what makes the games really stand out for me is there's always a plan, you know, mm-hmm. like there's always an overarching message that he has thought about quite a bit. Yeah. And, you know, in this one, like, you start this game with the brutal Kaede turn and Suichi kind of blaming himself for this, like her putting, like them putting him, making him responsible for, like her basically having to have Suichi save everyone,
right?
Because of like what she did, and he kind of has to like, you know, basically accuse her, you know, and because he's the only one with the information, and he's the only one who can like do this, and he ends up like killing the girl he likes after he's right. already had this traumatic backstory of, you know, discovering the truth.
And having to like basically ruin people's lives because of it.
Yes, exactly. And it's, you know, there's, so there's a really interesting counter to this, in Umineko. And there's the character of Erica, who mm-hmm. is describes herself, and you know, a little bit of a trigger warning for some SA type language here, but describes herself as an intellectual rapist. Mm-hmm. And like she is,
thanks so much, Ryukichi. Ryuichi, you've done it again.
And like her way of getting to the truth is like described as like very violating, like in mm-hmm. that game, like, you know, and this is like later on, you know, and these, and I think both of these games are kind of companion pieces to each other. And I sure. know Kaz like read Ryukishi like at some point, like, mm-hmm. like if, cause there's just so many similarities, but this is kind of the same thing where, but the difference is Shuichi is not, is kind of wrestling with it himself. And it, as the self insert, he's wrestling with these questions, and you as the audience are kind of put in that position. Like, is this really for the best? You know, like,
sure. Yeah. And well, you're asked to like, I mean, you're doing the thing that every, you know, detective novel or detective story does, which is like, you know, the puzzle becomes way more important than any sort of character does in a lot of ways. I mean, you know, unless you're talking about something like, oh yeah, like this, you know, this is our story and it involves Holmes and Watson. And it's like, oh, okay, Watson and Holmes still count as more important than any of the truths. But like, right. not always even. And like, I think in this case, you're being asked to kind of interrogate that a little bit and be like, well, are you like at all pleased that we found out the truth that Gonta killed Miu? Like, it's not exciting and it's not fun. And like, you don't feel relieved or happy that you did that.
And it seems it implied, and it seems like he was manipulated into it by Kokichi.
Until you get the alter ego Gonta, which is where he basically is like, oh yeah, actually like, I saw the end of the world and I don't want anyone to see that. Like, or I saw what the world's like, and actually, yeah, we all decided that it's better you all die. Mm-hmm. I don't know. He could still be manipulated by Kokichi. I don't know. But like, that could, I was sure he was being manipulated, and I was like, man, that is, it's going to be hard to like Kokichi after this. And then he just says, he's like, no, this was totally, you know, it was a horrible thing I did, but like, it was absolutely something that I had to do. And you know, probably we should have, I should have just been the last person to survive and have to live in this horrible world.
Yeah. So you have Gonta, you know what I'm saying? You have because I think this is the first time we kind of see this too. Like, and I'm kind of surprised it's taken this long for Kaz to kind of bring this wording out, which is the person who commits the murder because it's better than the alternative.
Like, right. Like the despair. There's a little bit of that in Nagito.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was just gonna, say. You get like a little bit of it with Nagito, but like that kind of goes away by the time Nagito has his own murder case, because he sees you as despair. You know, he turns on you by that
right.
point.
Right. Into, yeah. You know, yeah. Like, yeah. It is different.
So like, you know, Gonta is coming at this from like a true ally's perspective, where he's trying to, you know, save you, and he's making this, you know, noble sacrifice. And you, as Shuichi, are ruining that. And he right. dies for essentially no. He and Miyu both die for no reason. You know, like
right. Which I, and again, that's what Kokichi says. He says like there was no reason for it, and like it isn't clear at this point. And it feels like something that's going to be made more complicated. Although in what way I couldn't tell you. But like the kind of like. You know, oh, Kokichi doesn't actually care about any of this and is fine with this all being a waste. It very well could be that he's that's totally, you know, what it appears to be on the surface. And there's no depth there. He's just kind of a maniac Joker character, which I mean, you know, again, totally could be true. I don't know. But I think what's interesting about all that is like you get Kokichi's weird. I was lying about crying for Gonta. I'd never cry for Gonta. Did you believe that? You're such an idiot, sort of thing. And then it's matched with Gonta's, you know, him basically saying like, you know, it would have been a lot better if this would have worked out. And I'm sorry I did this. And you know, I would have done it again. It was like it was a good thing I did. Ultimately, even if it was a horrible thing I did.
Yeah, Gonta is the duty, right? You know, like mm-hmm. this is because I think that this is like a very interesting trope, particularly in America and probably in other countries too. But like there is a fascination with the idea of the reluctant like executor of what needs to be done. You know what yeah, I'm saying?
No, absolutely.
You know, like the power, the people who find themselves in power, who have this heavy burden placed upon them. And we're kind of inundated with like a ton of essentially fucking propaganda about how hard it is to be someone who has the power to do.
Have you ever thought how difficult it is to be a troop?
Yeah, exactly. Or a president. You know what I'm saying? Like,
That's more. Yeah, that's more of like the thing where, you get that version of like, it is. You don't want to be the man in charge. It's so much worse than you could possibly think.
And I just, I'm sorry. Like, I don't believe that.
Oh, it's completely untrue. I mean,
it's one of the, and I like when we're kind of shown some of this stuff, because I think that there's a lot of good people who are guided to, you know, their own elevated, you know, opinion of themselves and what they can do. But also being well-meaning. And I think this is like this is basically the liberal mindset, right? Where it's like, I'm going to become so educated. I'm going to have all of these credentials, and then I'm going to use my credentials to be the reluctant but capable manager of what is, you know,
right.
what is going on. But I feel so bad when everyone gets laid off. However, it simply must happen. And I think that in Danganronpa, like there's a lot of those themes. Like the ultimates are, you know, the people who are the quote unquote most talented, you know, selected to be the elite.
Yes.
And you know, they have this power, and you know, there's a little bit of an echo there with, you know, Gonta, and it's something that happens a lot where things are, that storyline, that plot line of the person who has the power, the person who did this bad thing, but for the right reasons.
Right.
It's always the foil for something bad, you know?
And, yeah, of course. I think
it's interesting to put that up against, you know, Shuichi's not great self-confidence in what he's doing. You know what I'm saying? And you have this foil where, like, ideologically, like, I feel like that's a pretty common, like, psychic ideological, like, battleground for, like,
yeah, no, totally. And I think, like,
things happen. Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, Gonta's whole thing, like, you know, being the ultimate entomologist is a neat thing. But the way that he's written this, I mean, it's very sad, but it works really well for this character is that, like, yeah, like, there aren't bugs in here. Like, he doesn't have anything to do. And unlike, you know, someone like, you know, the ultimate fortune teller or whatever, where it's like, yeah, like, don't be like, stop being like stupid, like, or like with Himiko, where it's like, everyone knows that you're a fake magician. It's fine. Yes. We're just going to ignore it.
It's a bit.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Like all like the sort of useless ultimates kind of thing, which happens a lot in these games, like, to the point where I think in games 1 and 2, you are essentially one of the useless ultimates.
Right.
But like, you know, it's like, you know, it plays with that, but then also makes it like so upsetting for him that he can't find a use because he's big and strong and he's like, I should be able to help and I can't because I'm not very smart and like there's no bugs here or anything. I can't like help with that. And like it, you feel for him. You want to be like, oh, you know, like it would be nice if he could find a way to be useful and like feel better about himself. And then you sort of regret your words and deeds when you see how he actually does it, right? Like it's like, oh, right, yeah, like that could have like a really awful sort of you know, way of coming true.
Yeah, and I think what's so brutal about Gonta too is on top of that is he's just the best person. You know what I'm saying? Like he is because he's the ideological outcome of what you were referencing before. Like when we're talking about Kaito's like perfect society, you know, Gonta is, there's no secrets with Gonta. You know what I'm
right,
saying?
Like yeah. Gonta is always going to tell you the truth.
Yeah. He'll always tell you the truth. He's an open book and he's going to believe in everyone, you know,
even Kokichi, like that's the thing. Like, like when Kokichi's like, oh, I thought maybe Gonta would believe in me. He's like, I didn't mean it like that. Like, in the midst of being like tricked and made a fool of, he's like, yeah, no, like it's cool, Kokichi. I think you're nice. Yeah, he's like, he's very much like he wants everyone to be included. He wants everyone to be safe. Like it is absolutely Kaito's like perfect world.
And I think that's why Kaito, like, it does become kind of an ideological battle between, like, Kaito and Kokichi, like, in that moment, like, in the trial. And, you know, I think that it shakes Kaito, you know, and I think this was the point that Kokichi was trying to make, is because, you know, you've empowered Shuichi to be this arbiter for truth, and you, like, helped pick him back up, like, when all the bad stuff happened, like, after Kaede, like, you taught him, like, you know, like, no, you've got to do this. Like, we need you to always find the truth to get us through this. And, you know, in what happens in this thing, you know, you do kind of see a little bit of a masterstroke here for Kokichi, where he kind of divides Kaito and Shuichi from one another and kind of plays them off each other and kind of forces Shuichi to side with him, you know, because the truth, that's, and I think that's Kokichi's point, is that the truth is this, you know, horrible finality, right? You know, it's this inevitability. There's no, as you were saying, there's no creativity to it. There's only one option, you know, like.
Right, right. And like, I think one of the things that's really interesting about this moment is like, you get, it's a lot of the things that like, you know, I don't know, like it's a lot of the things that you hear about, you know, like, I don't know, like Hajime, or not Hajime necessarily, although you do hear that about him, but like even more so with Makoto, where like, you know, they'll be like, oh yeah, like you're just not very smart, man. Like you're not as like good at us as the, like we're ultimates and you're not, is sort of like the ultimate sort of like lesson in those early moments in Danganronpa 1. And that's what's happening with Kaito, where like, everyone's like, Kaito, you're like a little dumb. And then he just kind of laughs it off. He's like, ah, it's good to be dumb. I like being like, you know, like he's like, it actually,
on, brother.
Yeah, this, it's cool. This is how I want to be. And it's cool. It's nice. But like, ultimately, in this chapter, Shuichi is forced to be like, no, dude, like, you are being dumb in a way that is going to get us killed. And that's not good. And I think that's interesting because like it's true. Like he is being dumb in a way that is going to get everyone killed because he doesn't want to consider Gonta to be the killer, even if Gonta is in fact the killer. And based on the rules of the killing game, that's going to get you completely murdered.
It's clear that Kaito like never considered that, you know, that truth is, you know, can be a weapon.
Against
togetherness, you know what I'm saying? And I think that was like Kokichi's like point here is like, you think that like lies and deception are like the outsider's tool. You know what I'm saying? That's the barbarian at the gates is lying to each other. But the truth is something that's so much more brutal and final that it can just as easily like damage everything, you know, like it's not as black and white as you think it is.
There's a great moment in the like the whatever it's called, like the polynomial battle chamber or whatever, where one of the things I forget if it's cooked. I'm not going to remember like who said it, because that's not really how that part of the game works. What you remember who said it, but like it might be Kokichi, where like someone's like, no, I'm not going to believe that Gonta did it. And the rebuttal is basically someone being like, good people can also commit crimes. And like this is something that has just been true of all the Danganronpa games. It's also like the last sort of like Shonen Jump urge that I think anyone who's playing these games has, which is like, but what if actually in reality, good people did not do bad things? Like what if ultimately there were like four good people and they never did a bad thing?
Well, and that's what I like a lot about Danganronpa is that how rare it is that someone's just being evil. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it's very rare. It happens every time in Chapter 3, but outside of that, not really.
It happens when they introduce the incest subplot and then have to keep it going for a little bit.
Like, gotta roll with the new evil that is undone here.
Korikyo introduced it and everyone got curious. Then the Mono Cups took it too far, and now everyone's like, okay, we're done with that. Like,
we're out of here.
Let's do something else. But yeah, like I think you're right. Like even like I think what's cool about Kokichi and like him being kind of a similar to a Nagito, like it is, you're stuck with this feeling that like, okay, this can't actually be the end point. Like at the end of the chapter, he says like, okay, that should probably be enough. Like now it's time to end this killing game. And it's like, okay, so like I am conditioned as a player of these games to say, okay, there's something else going on here. He's not precisely as evil as he is, although he has like, he likes suffering, he likes hurting people, all this stuff. But like, there's also some sort of other calculation. And the same thing with Nagito. It's just that ambiguity is so hard to pin down. Like, it's so tricky to be like, well, they're being evil for this reason. And tricky in a good way. Like, it makes you think. It makes you curious about their motivations. Actually, I wanted to ask you, what did you think about the moment where he says basically like, let's forget about motivations. Motivations aren't important. Let's get to the part of the trial that matters, because we don't really need to worry about motivations here.
And I think that's truth, right? Like,
yeah.
I think that's like you know, that is the thing that is I really like about Danganronpa V3 is it is so much more it's so much more of a meta game in so many different ways, which is really saying something, because like one and two are extremely meta.
Two is almost like explicitly a meta game.
Yes. And this is what I'm, and then it takes it to like another level. Like, there's a really interesting, thing about how, Danganronpa, like somebody put it out that like Danganronpa 1 is like a classical story, and then like Danganronpa 2 is like modern, and then like Danganronpa V3 is like very much postmodern.
I think I agree with that. I mean, I haven't seen enough to really like, I think I'll be able to say I agree with it better once I get to the end. But yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Definitely.
And I think that, you know, just what you're talking about, like the motivations, where this is all stuff that, like, we've had beaten into us as an audience, you know, over the course of the first two games, is it's like, well, it matters how bad, how much they felt bad about this, you know?
Are they like, I'm not going to remember any of their names, but like, you know, like there are times when you're just like, wow, that was really evil what you did. And there are times when you're like, oh my God, you had one choice and you just did this to save your family. I'm so, so sorry.
This is like, you've got like Pecco, who's like trying to like bail out,
Fuyuhiko. The mob.
And you know, there's so many, and then you have, like, you know, even Nagito, who's like such a sicko and kills Chiaki for this. But the fact that his plan is like essentially in his mind is like him saving the world, basically.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, he basically is like, well, we're the worst people to ever exist. Let's make sure we never get out of this game.
And he's kind of right about that. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not a risk that's like worth, you know, taking, you know, like, it's
The only reason that we're taking that risk is because the Makoto's, I mean, again, like, because like we've been told it's a good idea by people like Makoto, who exists within the confines of the game. No, it's true. Like, a lot of the sort of moral qualities that like the game insists are true are ultimately, when you put them under any sort of real scrutiny, you're like, well, okay, like, I agree with these because, like, I also think, like, I want, you know, a nice life for my friends or whatever. But, like, when you sort of put them under scrutiny in the way that Koichi does, you're just like, well, wait a minute. Actually, come to think of it, that's not really how this works. Like, you can't, like, endanger everyone's life because you're so sure that your homie would never do anything wrong.
Yeah, I think that the number one criticism of Danganronpa V3, why a lot of people don't like it as much as 2, is people think it's so hostile to its fan base that it's that like Kaz like doesn't like his fans. You know what I'm saying? Like some, in some ways it's like written as like a fuck you. And I think part of it is this truth and a lie like meta narrative thing where it's like, hey, remember when you were doing all of this in the first two games and you just didn't think about this at all and you just kind of like let me do this?
Exactly.
You know?
I also think like the idea of like that sort of like that like persecution complex that gamers have. People do that with Kojima. Or like people definitely do it with Miyazaki with Dark Souls. They're like, oh yeah, Miyazaki hates the Dark Souls fandom. And it's like you're misunderstanding a kind of like narrative cohesion or narrative conclusion or even narrative sort of like complication with hating the fans is such a weird thing. Cause of course, like the whole point of, I think like you could take the first trial of Danganronpa and be like, oh yeah, the whole series is about pointing out that it's like pretty bad to like be a fandom. Like it's dangerous to assume things based on fandom. And I think like this game is really good at, you're totally right. This game's really good at sort of pointing out like you're still assuming things based on a fandom. You're still doing the thing where you level up Sayaka because you think she's your waifu. Like you're still doing that three games in. You just like the ultimate evil guy who says, I'm the ultimate evil guy, and you go, oh, he probably like runs a Kinko's or something. Because there's always jokes. This guy's got jokes. I think like the fact that is sort of like ripped out from under you in this trial is really interesting. Like Kokichi's whole attitude towards it and how unsatisfying the whole thing is. Even Monokuma's like, this is really unsatisfying. I think it's great.
You know, it's an emotion. This trial is an emotional attack, on the audience and Shuichi both, you know, like where it's supposed to make you feel bad. And it definitely removes Kokichi from the group. Pretty solidly, you know, like with his little turn at the end there where he's saying he didn't care. And he's just kind of going insane and being antisocial. So now he's kind of separated from everyone, and you know, who knows what he's going to get up to in chapter four. But
the gifted youngsters corporation will not like me for this, but I'll keep collecting those friendship fragment garbage.
Yeah, right, exactly. I'll keep doing my events with him. I'll fill out that report card.
Yeah, I'm up to three with him. I finished Maki, and I'm like, okay, well, I finished Maki. I finished like the girl character I want to know better. Now I'll do the weird outsider, like real Chiaki, Nagito moments for me.
Also, like, just a quick aside, every like bit about Kibo being like a shitty robot is so funny to me.
It's so good, like, like it's so funny, and even like the robophobic stuff, like, you know, you're like, it's like, okay, you know, if I see that, I'm thinking like, oh god, it's gonna be like, oh, like, you know, people can't do things anymore.
Cancel culture goes too far,
but it's like, typically actually pretty funny, like, they'll just be like, it'll just be weird, and they'll be like, Kibo, I don't know what you're trying to get across with this, like, but or like people will,
he's not doing like his function, you know what I'm saying? Or like everything he does is like kind of shitty, and everyone's like, hey, shouldn't you be better at this? And he's like, no, and it's offensive that you think I should be better at this, you know?
Like, you know? It's also true that this one has the most sort of like the largest amount of like fairly useless ultimates, like, where like you could even argue like Tsumugi is like, you're like, oh, so you could have gotten away with this because you could have dressed up as like a real person and like impersonated us. And so
she has Cosbox.
Like, no, I have Cosbox. I can't possibly do that. It's like, well, what value do any of you have?
Like, what does that mean? Yeah.
Kind of is the ultimate pianist. It's like, well, what good is being a pianist going to do for us? Like, that's great. It's like being the ultimate photographer. It's like, well, that's cool and all, but it doesn't help us in the killing game.
Kaito being the ultimate astronaut. It's like, okay, well, when is that so ever going to help us? Yeah.
Like, and he hasn't even been to space. It's like, okay, fine.
Sure. What does that mean? What does that mean when you're an ultimate who can't even do any of like that stuff? It's
Miu's really, the only useful ultimate, and she's just constantly so vulgar. Everyone hates her. Like, it's like,
yes. By the way, pour one out for Miu. I was very sad when Miu died. She's like one of my favorite characters. I always thought she was so funny.
It's like the utter like crassness of her is so funny. Like, there's nothing better than her coming up with some way to say something like extremely sexual and just say it like a fourth grade boy. Like, if you've never been socialized as a fourth grade boy, you might think that some of this is exaggeration, the way she's talking. And I have to tell you, it is not. This is just how we talk when we are 10.
I can tell you right now that character design is Kaz's, like, that is the Freud jumping out for Kaz. Like, there is something to take away from that. That's the Miu design, that's the Junko design, and that's the Shinigami design in the Rain Code game.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. She does have a bit of Junko going on there, doesn't she?
Yes. They're all the like blonde with like a giant chest and everything like that. And every time there's like something very there's like a very like rude, crass person, and I'm just like, Kaz, you need to, your subtext needs to be a little bit more sub, like just a little bit more sub. It's jumping out a little.
Isn't it so cool how these ladies are super crass? It's like, I guess, man. Like,
guess. don't you think that's awesome? I guess, man. But like, can you stop doing that?
I could have been friends with her. I like how everyone's just like, I would not have been friends with her. In any, go to just saying, it's such a shame she's dead. But before he knew he killed her, it's such a shame she's dead. Like, we all could have been such good friends. Everyone being like, no.
Yeah, everyone's like, no, not really.
Not with me, you know.
No, not really. Shout out to her and Kokichi interacting was like one of my favorite things about this game.
Very funny. Yeah, just like her becoming like the kind of like weird, flustered, like boy in a harem novel whenever Kokichi insulted her.
Yes. Yeah.
Very, yeah. Very funny.
Yeah. This is the first time I've ever heard someone call someone else a cum dumpster in a game.
So yeah. Probably the last two. Yeah. I don't think that's coming back.
No.
I also, I like the fact that you get a, you get sort of like this moment with Kokichi too, where you almost can't blame him for, you can blame him for doing it the way he did. And that's the motive, right? Where it doesn't matter for him. He's like, that's just another version of truth. I don't care about it. Like, it doesn't matter. None of this matters. You're all missing the forest for the trees completely. And like, I think what's interesting is like when he's like, yeah. So ultimately she was going to kill me. So I killed her first.
Right.
It's like that is surprising, but also justifiable. Like,
I was just going to say, yeah, like, I mean, that's a pretty good reason if you can prove it. You know what I'm saying?
I would have loved to be able to kill her myself, but I had to help Ganta kill her. And then, of course, like, you know, revealing that was a lie is his way of being like, you once again fell for the oldest trick in the book.
In the book, yes. Never get involved in a land war in Asia, but only slightly less well known is this. Never trust Kokichi when being rude is on the line.
Oh, that was a lie.
That was a lie. It's a lie. God, I love. He's Derek. Shout out to Derek Stephen Prince, who is just the fucking cooking in this game.
Yeah,
he's unbelievable
voice acting in this game from him. Like, just so good.
He's already been in the series. He was Fuyuhiko in the series, but like people might know him.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah,
he was great as Fuyuhiko.
Yeah, he's been around. Like, if you watch anime, like, at any point in time, you've definitely seen him. He's, like, Guts in Kill la Kill. Mm-hmm. He's the Quincy guy in Bleach. Which
you mean
is,
the guy from Quincy?
Yeah, the guy from... Man from Quincy. No, he's the Bleach. I forget his friend, the Quincy's, which are like the spirit hunter.
Oh, I do like his line about the socks. I appreciate that he keeps saying that.
Yeah. He's awesome.
How about the fucking socks? I can't believe this is Fuyuhiko.
Yeah. Nihihi. That's the other thing is his name means horse in Japanese. So when he's his stupid little laugh is supposed to be an A.
That's like, so funny.
Nihihi.
I'm in awe that at the voice acting to take Fuyuhiko and just like up the cattiness just a little bit and like make him sound a little more catty and gay. And it's like, okay, perfect. You nailed it.
And now you have a better, and now you have like a different, in my opinion, better character.
You have a more evil character. Fuyuhiko was never particularly evil.
No, he wasn't. I mean, he's like, he's almost like more just misunderstood.
Yeah, like, no, I was going to say, like, that's just, he's just misunderstood.
Yeah. But I think what's so interesting, I really like Kokichi's, I think if you just kind of hate Kokichi out of hand, which I think is understandable in this game, because he does some really nasty, very like this is a pretty brutal chapter. You know,
he's mean, man. Like, yeah, no, for
it's,
sure.
It's hard to forgive him for what he does to Gonta, because Gonta's the favorite. I texted you before we started recording that when Gonta hold chopsticks in this hand, like, is like one of the worst things that's ever happened to me in my life. It's so funny because
there are all those memes where people will be like, show us a sad scene from a movie that doesn't look sad if you know it. And like every time I'm like, well, most of the things I watch have context. I don't know. I don't know what it would be. Like, I don't know. Like, who knows? It doesn't matter. And like, now I have one. Now it's like, it's Gonta saying, I hold my chopsticks in my left hand. It's like, no. Yeah,
everyone at once going, oh no. You know, like, cause that's, everyone's pretty sure it's Kokichi, right? And that's the, you know, cause I think that is the thing is, it's, you know, it would be mob justice, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, for Kokichi, because he's the one that is not well-liked. There's enough, it's plausible enough that you could execute Kokichi for this, and it would be like, yeah, he probably did it because Miyu was trying to kill him, you know?
Yeah, and they even set it up where they're like, yeah, what if there are two Blackened? And it's like, oh, maybe they're both the Blackened now, and like we can Monokuma's bored and low energy, and he's like, I guess whatever, like they're both the Blackened, then they both get executed.
Yeah, they both die. Yeah.
Father, maybe don't make such bold decisions on no sleep.
Yes, that's super funny. God. I think the thing that just drives me the thing that drives me so crazy is like, and I get people like not liking the Kokichi character, but like not engaging with, not thinking about the game enough, because it's very easy with Danganronpa to be like very surface level, you know what I'm saying, and just like, I like this character, I don't like this character, I want this character to die.
I think it's harder in V3 though. Like, I think it's pretty easy in 1 and 2, but like, mm-hmm, V3 doesn't give you a lot of options outside of Maki and Kaito to be like, I stan these guys, I like them, or I don't like them.
Right.
I'd be comfortable with that for long.
Yeah, and it is, but it, like with Kokichi, like he is, you've got to understand that like if you're, I'm using, you know, Royal You, you've got to understand that he is, that Kokichi like essentially is the functionality of this game, you know, in the lie, because he is the personification of the lie, and there's so much, you know, to like, even to right now, like, you know, I don't really know what his motivations are. You're still not sure if he's the supreme evil leader. You know, you're not. I remember thinking this at the end of the game. I was like, are we sure that is like what his thing is, you know, like, is that not just like a stupid fucking, you know, like joke, like it is with a lot of the other characters?
For sure. Like, I mean, it's absolutely something that I think if you've played the games before, you're thinking, because like, this is something that happens in those games where it's like, yeah, like, I mean, I just like the perfect example would be Gundam, where he's like, I'm the ultimate breeder. And you're like, oh, my God, like, is this guy like this guy just like having all sorts of sex? And he's like, I breed animals.
There it is.
Very funny. Very funny. Like, or like Fuyuhiko, like, I'm a mob boss. And it's like, I'm kind of not very good at it. I'm like a kid. I'm a child. Like, OK, right. Of course. Sure. I was saying to you, it's interesting that like they finally sort of introduced someone who is like, I'm the supreme evil leader. And like, even if he doesn't have like a huge organization or whatever, you're like, oh yeah, he's acting like a supreme evil leader. He just wants to hurt people and like cause suffering and like and mess with the ideas of like truth and rationality and stuff.
That was the point I was going to make, is that it's more about he's foiling Kaito and Shuichi. You know what I'm saying? Like he has become the opposition to the other members of the group, you know?
Right.
Which is like what the evil people traditionally are in these things, you know, like you have the good guys, you have the bad guys. He's the bad guy.
Well, he's very strictly in the strictest sense of the word, he's an antagonist. Like he works against the theme of the plot.
Right. He's the antagonist. But the thing that is interesting is that Shuichi, who is the main character, was, appropriated for what he was up to, and you know, Shuichi just kind of couldn't really fight that, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, and he, like this is why it's so good when like all of a sudden Kokichi's like, all right, Shuichi, like, you have to help us because you're the ultimate detective, like anyone else and we'll be dead. And everyone's like, yeah, Shuichi, thanks, Shuichi. And then instantly when Shuichi gets the truth, everyone's like, how dare you, Shuichi?
Right.
Look at it. You were totally correct when you had that skepticism about being a detective. Like, you were totally correct in the skepticism of, is this actually something that makes people feel anything except terrible?
Well, and people don't like, you know what I'm saying? Like on top of that, you know what I'm saying? Like, nobody likes privacy being violated, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Even if you're like not a criminal, you know what I'm saying? But probably mostly when you're not a criminal, you don't like people getting into your bullshit and like investigating you and asking you questions. Scrutiny is like something that's uncomfortable. And I think that the game, I don't know, like, it's interesting that the game logic takes it that extra step, because, like, in the previous games you had, like, Kyoko, who, like, you know, did kind of end up on the outside of everyone.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
For that exact reason. Like,
right.
Yeah.
But because she, like, wasn't able to, like, do some of these things. And you had, you know, you the person who was, like, really moving things along and kind of took that role in two is Nagito.
Oh, yeah.
Being able to be, like, antagonistic, he was able to step up and be the one who would, like, take the group's ire on when it was time to be like, hey, are you sure that this person isn't, you know,
what's the same with this? It's the same. I don't know why I'm forgetting him, but it's the same with the ultimate scion, the ultimate, like,
oh, Byakuya.
Yeah, it's the same with Byakuya, where, like, the whole game you're like, this stupid Byakuya guy, and it's just like, oh yeah, he's just saying, like, please, like, take this seriously. We're in a killing game, and if we get this wrong, we're all going to die. He's right. Like, this son of a bitch.
This fucking guy. Yeah. And I think that's, I just think that's, like, interesting, and I think that I really, like, disappoints me that, like, I do understand it. I really do understand it, but it disappoints me that, like, V3, like, pretty firmly had, like, most, like, people who consider themselves fans of the series kind of think of V3 as being, like, lesser than the first two. And I think it's the best one, because, like, it is, the games are like a little pyramid where, like, Danganronpa 2 is built on Danganronpa 1 and all the assumptions that come with it. And I think Danganronpa 3 does the same thing with 2, but in a much more, like, fundamental way, it kind of attacks the genre. You know what I'm saying? It attacks itself, you know, it is challenging, like, itself, you know.
Yeah, it's absolutely, like, you know, people get mad, like we were talking about, like, people get worried that, like, oh god, like, you know, maybe Kaz doesn't like the fans or whatever.
Right.
And, like, ultimately, like, it's not so much about liking or not liking. It is still a game about, like, trying to question, like, your priors, basically, to be like, did you like, you know how, like, every time something happens in these games and you think, I got this all figured out, and then it's not figured out. What if that was, like, the genre of the game, too?
Yes.
And, like, I think, like, I don't know, like, there's something about, for me anyway, and I found that disappointing, too, that people don't like this game as much, because, like, it is, it's very true to me that the Danganronpa, essentially, as, like, a story, operates in a very similar way to other trilogies that are, like, it's important to watch all three or to read all three or to, like, experience all three. And then once you do it, you have, like, a better understanding of the general theme, and you take it as a whole. I think V3 just follows up on a lot of the stuff in the previous two, and, like, in a very interesting way. I don't feel like I honestly, like, and I could see why people would be like, you're just saying that because Sam said it. And that's correct.
That's a correct way to do things. I just want to put that out there. That's the correct way to do things.
That's how I make friends, and that's how I make podcasts. But
he's waiting, hanging there for the last episode for Trevor's heel turn. He's got to get me in here for two more of these at least, and then the heel turn curve comes, and he's like, I give this 4 out of 10. Bullshit game sucks.
It's gonna be so cool when I hit Sam with the that's a lie.
Yeah, there we go.
That's gonna I think the Celtics are likable. That was a lie.
It's a lie. No.
I hope they win the East this year.
Nobody hopes that. Nobody hopes that, folks.
I don't know. Probably I would like them to win over the Heat. But anyway, not important. They feel like they are following up on each other. And I mean, we've gone over this before and, like, how they do it. But, you know, like the first one being essentially a murder mystery game that ends up being about, like, what is hope versus what is despair and the tricky similarities between them. The second one being like, well, what if that's not something that you can follow through on entirely, just, like, via these two things. And the third one being like, okay, like, how about we just make it, how about we just like clarify right now that all of this is way too complicated to ever put like a pin on, and things are really hard and scary and strange. I get why people aren't into that, I guess, but that's more just like you, it's more like saying like you took my comfort character and made them different. To me, like it's not a real critique. It's a I'm uncomfortable with this, which is, you know, I don't know, maybe for better or for worse, something I'm less willing to sort of listen to.
Yeah, it's definitely more challenging, you know.
Like, yeah, and no, it's a way more challenging game. It's like these chapters have like not been fun necessarily, but like.
Yeah,
I don't know if like there's a lot of people out there who are getting visual novels because they're like, I cannot wait to have a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, it's not like doing a couple rounds of COD or something like that. You know, that you're not dropping Apex Legends like I was earlier tonight. You know,
Oscar
like
dropped by and asked if he could see how I was playing the game because I was playing it while he was watching something, and I was like, oh, you just read it, and he goes, you just read it. I was like,
you read it?
Yep. You just read
it. Yeah. It's visual novels, folks. I was like trying to explain that to someone of like the House in Fate of Morgana. I'm like, yeah, it's like Umineko. It's like this really like powerful, really like beautiful story. And they're like, oh well, how do I read it? Is it a book? And it's like, no, it's a video game. You read it on a screen, and you've also got to look at the drawings that the author made too at the same time that are pretty bad.
Do not look at the good drawings, for the love of God.
don't look at the good drawings. Don't look at the bad drawings. Don't look at any of it.
Yeah, you're gonna stop looking at me.
Stop. Just cut it out.
But yeah, great chapter. Incredible stuff. I'm very excited to see more because this one really grabbed me and it was upsetting. Yes. It was sad. Like it really was like you never want your favorite to be the killer. And like in this was even more of a your favorite is the killer kind of thing than with Chiaki, because it's like with Chiaki, it's like, OK, look, like this is just how it goes. Like this is your evolution as a person. With this, it's like, you have to kind of go back to square one and be like, you didn't fix things when you thought you fixed things. You thought you fixed it with your goofy little training sessions and truth telling times with Kaito and Maki. You did not. You didn't fix it.
No. And let me just tell you right now, it keeps going. 5 is a barn burner, and V36 is maybe it's definitely my favorite chapter in the series, and I think it's one of the best. Not ever.
So is I forget. Is there a 7 in these games, or is it usually 6 is the last one?
Six is the last one.
Okay, so we got 2 more. Oh wow,
we've got 2 more. Yeah.
But what are we gonna do after that?
I'm telling you, Umineko, folks.
Okay, yeah. Okay, I'm already getting through Higurashi. I like it too. I like all the bad drawings and everything.
Yeah, some people. I enjoyed Higurashi. It's a lot of work. Someone pointed out to me, though, shout out to Cody, who I was talking with about this.
Cody's really nice.
Yeah, he did Umineko first on my recommendation, but then went back and was doing Higurashi, and he's enjoying Higurashi more because it's more comfy. You know what I'm saying? Like Umineko is like a very challenging, like it's doing like a lot of like, you know, this is mystery novels. Knox's rules for the mysteries. Here's a character called Dalinor Knox, which is Ronald backwards.
Yes. Yes.
And she's like the knight of truth that like cuts through the line. It's just, it is very complicated. Like I do get that, but
I would love to do an Umineko and Higurashi. Someone will have to bankroll that one because we're gonna. I'll have to quit my job. But you're not allowed to work anywhere if you know about Higurashi or Umineko.
No, they drum you out.
Yeah, real quick. You're done.
It's like the Red Scare, but it's the Ryukishi Scare, where if they see the shitty drawings and the thing, oh, why don't they have hands? Why can't he draw hands?
Well, he can't. Okay. Why does Miyu have a gun? I don't know.
Just to do.
She okay, does. In the new ones, they take it away from her, and that's not okay. Well, Sam has to go to sleep. I'm gonna call it here because Sam. I'm not gonna let Sam stay up late and ruin his day at work. On Maundy Monday or whatever it is.
We love Mondays.
I forget what the Monday after Easter is. Is it?
Evil Monday.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
It's Good Friday and Evil Monday. So
Evil the Monday. So anyway, Sam, where can people hear you? Where can people find you? What's your address?
All right, so my address is 394. You can find us at NBA Baby Secret is the Twitter, and if you like the NBA, you know Ball Podcast, available on most podcasting platforms, and we're getting ready for the postseason.
The ones that it's not available on know what they did.
Yeah, they're. We had to take a firm stance against the Ringer to stop posting our content without our permission.
Unadorned, except for Bill saying, "The Ringer presents."
Right. Yeah. And well, and we're podcast. Also non-union. Well, it's because we're not union. They're trying to like freelance scabbing against our will, and we just weren't on board with that. So
get him. Well, yeah, no, you should go listen to that. I think if you aren't a Sixers fan, I would recommend doing this more because I will recommend hanging in there in case the Sixers do not make the play-in and Trill's mental health takes an immediate nosedive. But I hope that they make it and our beautiful boy is okay.
Let's see. Yeah. If not, we'll probably need a new co-host, and I'll be leading the search after Trill's tragic passing, if that happens.
Welcome to You Know Celtics.
The Celtics podcast mostly about the Sixers JRPGs.
Yes. Yeah, no, that's true. That's true. With no one there to stop you from talking about what's going on in Trails, what could be? I think this is going to be a really good podcast.
Yep. Yeah, well, I'll tell you, Unicorn Overlord, kind of mid.
And I'll be just making some enemies right at the end of the podcast. This is exciting.
Nobody respects 13 Sentinels more than me. I think I would probably put 13 Sentinels in my like top 20 games ever, which is extremely high praise. But Unicorn Overlord, it's a non Three Houses Fire Emblem game. Mm-hmm. You know, so you know what you're like. If you like the like other Fire Emblem, earlier Fire Emblem games, like the 3DS ones, Path of Radiance, the GameCube ones, like absolutely check it out. You're gonna know exactly what that is. You're gonna know exactly what that is, what the story beats are, what type of characters you're gonna find, all of that. Just if you've played a lot of Fire Emblem like I have, you've probably seen a lot of this before. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, the Vanillaware respecter and chastiser has logged in and out of chat.
The Vanillaware centrist. The problems are just too complicated. Small incremental change to our Vanillaware games.
Small incremental mechs to make sure that we are wearing clothes while in them. What happened to my clothes? The longest thread on Twitter canceled.
Locked by moderators. Locked by moderators and Gainax officials after the third time.
All right, man. Well, I will let you go. Thank you so much for being here. Go follow Sam, NBA Baby Secret. It's well worth your time. And we'll talk very soon. I have to say, after a short time away, I am well and truly Danganronpa pilled. So
let's go.
Maybe back sooner than you think.
Let's go. Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening to No Cartridge. If you'd like to support us further, please consider going to patreon.com/nocartridge or for a one-time donation, paypal.me/nocartridge.
Hegelbon, H-E-G-E-L-B-O-N. It's really, really helpful for all of us to be able to support the many people who make the show, myself included, but also our producers and various co-hosts, writers, and artists. Thank you so much for listening. Please remember to like, subscribe, share, any of those things that would let other people get the quality video game analysis that you've grown accustomed to.